I'm wondering how many of us were able to watch the royal wedding service yesterday, either in real time or perhaps streamed at a later date. Anyone? A few of us, perhaps. If you didn't, you may have seen some news reports about the sermon preached by our presiding bishop, the Right Reverend Michael Curry. He's not the bishop of Chicago or from Chicago, as some news reports, but he is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. And he gave a fervent and powerful sermon on the power of redemptive love. If you didn't hear it, you can access it from our website. There's a link to that sermon. And if you did see it, you will know that many an Episcopal priest this morning probably thought it would be best just to bring in a screen and show you that sermon today and not try to follow it up. But today is not a royal wedding. Today is instead the Feast of Pentecost, when the church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' followers, the gift of the Holy Spirit. In our mission statement here at St. John's, the very first sentence is an invitation to hear the Spirit, to hear that Holy Spirit for ways in which it will guide us as a parish and as individuals. And in the midst of our lessons today, we heard of a variety of ways in which we can hear that Spirit. For those disciples waiting in an upper room after the ascension of Jesus, it came as a rushing, even violent wind, the sound of wind. In that same story of Acts, we're told that the Spirit came as a multiplicity of voices, the disciples suddenly able to speak in a variety of languages so that those who were seeking to hear good news could hear it spoken in their own tongue. And then Jesus tells his disciples that that Spirit is going to come almost as a soft whisper in their hearts, with words of truth that will continue to reveal to them who they are meant to be and how they are meant to live. And then there is the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, and how does he describe the sound of the Spirit? The groaning of labor pains, the sound of giving birth. Well, though the phrase is not used in Scripture, Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church, when a new community is being born amidst the followers of Jesus. But if we listen to Paul, he says something even larger is being born. The whole of creation itself, and each of us. He writes these words, "We know that the whole of creation has been groaning in labor, pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." Now, I think this is Paul's way of saying that we live in a world that is not yet what is meant to be. It's Paul's way of saying that we in the creation are destined for glory, but we're not yet there. Now, perhaps neither Paul or I should even be using this image or this metaphor, for neither of us has given birth, and we don't know of what we speak. But I recall a story of one woman who did. She was a colleague and a friend of mine, a clergy person. This was years ago. We were at a conference together, sitting at a lunch table. I was on one side of her, and on the other side was another friend, a much older woman, a mother and a grandmother, a lay woman, and an active member in our conference in our church. And the two of them were sitting there. My friend Candace had just returned from an all-too-brief maternity leave, having given birth to her first child. And they were trading stories of giving birth and of those first weeks and months of rearing a child. And I sat just listening, of course. And at one point, Candace just looked at this woman and said, "So when do I get my energy back?" And without missing a beat, this wise woman said, "Oh, when they turn 21. To bring a child into this fragile world of ours. Hopes arise and also fears. Exhilaration and yes, exhaustion." Yesterday was one of those days when, if you were paying any attention to the news, you could perhaps have experienced both those range of emotions as you looked out at this world in which we live. There was that royal wedding, and like any wedding, we looked at, oh, what can love do? and we place our hopes in a young couple who are committing themselves to each other in an everlasting covenant. And then that sermon about the power of redemptive love in the world and hope for the future. But then, if you listened to the news, there was other all too familiar news as well of families dealing with the new and profound grief of loved ones lost to one more senseless act of gun violence. Exhaustion, despair, discouragement. But here we are on this Feast of Pentecost, and the words from Scripture are, listen, listen, hear, and receive the Holy Spirit. For we are given a promise of energy, a promise which enables us to live in hope, whatever the circumstances of our lives. We are invited to receive that energy. I must confess that as I listened to Bishop Curry yesterday talk about the power of love, I was saying, yes, yes, but of course it's hard. It's hard to translate living out that love in the realities of our relationships and in the larger realities of the world. And then comes this day, and the promise of God that resonates through these scriptures is you will receive the energy and the guidance and the power to act in that love to transform the world. And we're invited to receive that energy this morning. And so if you are fearful of the increasing tribalism that separates us one from another, then remember the story of Pentecost when all kinds of persons speaking a multitude of languages were drawn into a larger community of Christ and receive that energy. Or if the groans of our wounded creation are beginning to sound more and more like the cries of one dying and lead you to despair, then remember Paul's words and know that as we receive the power of the Spirit, we have the capacity to make a difference. Receive that energy. And if the personal circumstances of your life bring you to a place of discouragement, know that the Spirit is already interceding with sighs too deep for words. Receive that energy. Today we baptize three children and welcome them into the body of Christ. We will surround them and their parents with promises. And we do not promise that they will go out into a world that is free from sin or free from danger or free from fear. But what we do promise is this, that we will teach them about the one who died and rose again, whose spirit could not be quenched by the powers of the world, and who promised the gift of that Spirit to all who would follow him, providing us with guidance, with hope, and yes, a lively energy for the living of our lives. When do we get our energy back? Every time we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, to the presence of the risen Christ in the life of this community and in our hearts. Every time we open ourselves to the inexhaustible pouring out of God's fervent love upon this creation, so that the groans of labor might become the exhilarating shouts of celebration of all the new life that is being born in our midst. Thanks be to God. Amen.